Okay, wind it up, everyone. Okay, who would like to share? Okay. Haridas Thakur. And anything special, one of his special qualities? Right. Would you repeat it again in the microphone for the...
So Haridas Thakur, since he was beaten in 22 markets and he never complained that I hate the guards who are beating me and stuff, and he was compassionate for the guards because they would get a lot of karma.
Thank you very much. Would someone else like to share?
Lord Ram, who was kind enough and obeyed his father's father's wish, but the father's dictum to leave the kingdom and spent his 14 years in exile, out of humility and out of his love and affection for his father. We also talked about Vidur, who also went on to lead a very humble life, though he was offered to live in the palace because he was like kind of the minister, during the for the Kauravas and all. So those are the two characters we thought of.
Thank you. Somebody else like to share?
I was thinking about Mother Kunti, because it's only when all of her troubles are over that she learns, she has this realization of how appreciative she is for those troubles. So it's inspiring to me to, be appreciative in the midst of troubles,
Thank you. Anyone else? Want to share? Come on, you guys. You all know each other. Don't be formal. This is our chance to really, share our hearts. We hear and chant all weekend, and it's our opportunity to...
He already said Haridas Thakur, but I also said Haridas Thakur because he was really, really humble, even though he chanted all the time and he thought he never remembered Krishna, but he was always remembering Krishna.
So. Thank you. Well, and so which came first? Was he humble and then he was able to chant Hare Krishna all the time, or he chanted Hare Krishna all the time and therefore he was humble all the time? Right? We were talking about that, the Sharanagati prayers. One more share.
Hare Krishna Mataji. So we discussed about Ambarish Maharaj. Mm-hmm. So he was very humble when Durvasa Muni sends a demon to him, across him, to kill him just because he drank little water and broke the fast. So, and he's very humble. He is accepting whatever is happening and he's completely having faith on Krishna, and he didn't do any kind of you cannot do this, nothing. He was just waiting what to happen, and he accepted as it is. He's as Maharaj was telling, saying yes to everything, yes. So that's what we discussed.
Thank you. So now I'd like you to turn to your same partner, and some of you had groups of three or four, that's fine. If there was anyone that wasn't included, maybe somebody, I think a couple of the ladies back there weren't included in a partner share. So now I want you to think of a devotee, someone you've met in this life. It's all right if they've already passed on. And it can be a relative, it can be your parent or grandparent. That's all fine. But just a devotee that you've known in this life that had a very strong impact on you, that had, exceptional qualities that really kind of ingrained themselves in your memory. So please share that now with one another. And they can still be alive too. Okay, one more minute. I'm so glad to see you guys aren't shy, that once you get started, you're all very talkative. That's awesome, because we're going to have lots more of these, okay? Okay. So, is everybody done? So how many of you found that really awesome to get to, like, think about and glorify a devotee or devotees? So that we have that opportunity, like, every day, like, all day, you know, we can do that. And it actually makes our hearts happy. And it makes us enlivened, and it makes us really appreciate one another. So another point is, like, attention, right? I remember this, okay, we all know the phrase, undivided attention. And I don't think that ever meant as much as it does in our current techno gadget gizmo age of, what does undivided attention mean anymore? Like, okay, you get me for 3 seconds until something beeps or bangs or buzzes or you know, like, I mean, do you guys feel like that? You're like going through your day and it's like, ooh, something's always going off. I mean, it used to just go off in my own head. Now it goes off around me, too. That's kind of scary. So attention is considered by psychologists to be the most basic form of love with relationships. That giving attention to the person that we love is a very fundamental way of how we show we love them. How many of you have children or have taken care of children? And what happens if they don't get your attention? They will figure out some way to demand it. If they can't get it positively, they will definitely get it negatively. They will make sure not too long of a time period goes by before they get your attention. But that's not true with all of our relationships. And it's described that attention or being attentive is like the water and the food that feeds a plant. You know, if you want good root system and you want the plant to be healthy and to bear flowers and fruits, then you have to feed it. You have to nourish it. And if you don't, we were visiting my sister yesterday on Bainbridge Island on our way here, and she's got a beautiful vegetable garden and lots of fruit trees, but one area of strawberries hadn't gotten watered and the sun had been very strong, and she walked by and she went, ah, they need water, and they were all like laying over limp, and you know, and within a few minutes of watering, giving them the attention they deserve and the water they need, they're just immediately perked back up and pick the strawberries, offer them to Krishna. So it's really, really important if we want to have long-lasting, deep, meaningful relationships with our family members, with one another, and especially with Lord Krishna, that we give the relationship that undivided attention. And so, of course, we can say, oh, but, you know, I got to work, I got to cook, I got to drive, I got to go to school, I got to all the other things we got to do. But to learn how to unmultitask, we've learned how to multitask to the point where our attention spans have gotten to be about a quarter of a second, you know. So now to unlearn that and learn how to focus again on one person, one activity at a time. I don't know if I think it might be relevant to all of us, but they've done the studies now and all of that, you know, we thought we were so competent and so accomplished by becoming so expert at multitasking, but it's actually causing problems in our own brains. So there's enough research that's been done now that shows it's counterproductive. It's not helping us. our memories are becoming shorter and shorter, our production levels, our, all the things they measure that are important for, you know, work and business and all of that, it's counterproductive. It's not helping us. So there's different things that can help us be attentive. One is the decision to be, to make that conscious choice to be attentive when we're driving, when we're talking with a person, when we're cooking, when we're chanting. And for chanting, to be attentive, how many here are visual people, visual learners? A lot of, very important for you, what you see in your environment. Okay. So for visual people, usually having, like we've got in the room here, the Maha Mantra in front of us, having beautiful paintings of Krishna, having deities, the Lord's deity form in front of us, all of those help bring the mind back, keep it focused for our chanting so that we actually see Krishna's here before me, I'm chanting to him. Or Srimati Radharani and Krishna are here before me, or Shishri Gornitai, so that the mind is kind of hemmed in because of that visual experience. And for those who are stronger auditorial with ears, how many of you are stronger auditorial learners? For you, it might be more important to have japa tape. There's no tapes anymore. Japa, Srila Prabhupada's japa playing, or having other devotees nearby also chanting softly. Or all of the above. All of these things may be helpful. So attention, attentive, there's some great synonyms that I'll share with you. So intent, listening, concentrating, careful, alert, awake. Right? All these great, like, don't we want our japa to be intent, listening, concentrating, careful, alert, awake, mindful, watchful, observant, and then some other ones, considerate, kind, helpful, accommodating, conscientious, thoughtful, respectful, courteous. So all of these are like synonyms of attentive. Anybody want to guess some of the opposite antonyms? What's the opposite of some of those things I just said of being attentive? Distracted? Disturbed? Asleep? Half asleep? Neglect? Discourteous, yes. Unkind, thoughtless, impatient. Yeah. So. Those are all lack of humility. Yes. I don't know. Some people can be sincerely, attentively clumsy. Right? How many of us, right? Like, so to assist, just like, again, cultivating a garden. How many of you have done gardening? Or houseplants? Something, okay. So, strange buzz now. Is it sounding buzzy to you guys? Or just me? Just shifted. So, and of course we have the example of the Bhakti Lata Bija, right? The spiritual master mercifully plants the Bhakti Lata Bija in our heart. And by cultivating the Bhakti Lata Bija with attentive, undivided attention, undivided attentive chanting, we're watering and feeding. And by hearing and chanting and kirtan, and serving devotees and all of our devotional practices, we're cultivating and caring for the Bhakti Lata Bija in the heart. So, yes, and if you're a good gardener, you want to make sure and take out the weeds, because if the weeds grow, they can choke the devotional creeper. So, I would like to do a small visualization with all of you. Give you the opportunity to have your own visualization. I'm not going to do it for you. So, this is like a guided meditation. And this you're all going to do on your own. It's not going to be a partner share, but afterwards we'll take the opportunity to share some things. So this is for the with the intention of increasing our ability to see everyone as part and parcel of Krishna. Everyone is Krishna's property, and everyone is Krishna's dear most friend. So I'd like you to just sit comfortably. If you need to move a leg, if something's falling asleep, or whatever you need to do. If you need to sit in a chair, if you're on the floor, whatever, just to be able to relax and focus. You're going to focus inward. So go ahead and close your eyes. And just take a few very deep breaths. This is an awesome place here for pranayama. A beautiful purifying wind all around us. Fresh, clean air. So as you become conscious of your breathing, just allow yourself to relax and let go. And it'll get easier in a minute. So begin by thinking of the form of the Lord that's the most dear to you. And if you have more than one form of the Lord that's the most dear to you, that's all right. But just go ahead and choose one for now. And everything about this form of the Lord, consciously bring into your mind everything you know about how your Lord looks, the descriptions you've read, or if it's one of your own deities that you worship. Every detail that you can remember. Both visually and qualities and pastimes of your Lord. And if you're seeing this form of the Lord in your mind's eye, go ahead and ask your Lord to take a seat in your heart. Offer an asana in your heart for your Lord to come and be seated on. Take this opportunity to increase your meditation. And if you want to offer some manasapuja in your mind, you may offer artik or flowers or cooked offering. want you to envision the form of your Lord, to be able to actually perceive or see your Lord in the hearts of every person you interact with. And every time you're interacting with your family members, with your friends, with your colleagues at school or work, with persons in your town or city, your Lord is watching everything, hearing everything. He knows everything. He's present in both your mind and in your heart. And He's present in the heart of each and every person you interact with. So what will you offer your Lord through your interactions? Love and kindness, patience and tolerance. So now I want you to envision yourself going through your day, how it starts, a typical day, the first people you encounter in the morning, those in your house, or if you live alone, the first people you encounter when you go outside, and when you go to your school or your place of work. And as you're seeing the different people in your life, in your daily life, envision your Lord in their heart. And again, you can let those visions go and just now come back to your private meditation and offer the Lord some prayers of gratitude. Then go ahead and open your eyes. Okay, and go ahead and share with your partner or your partner group your experience, something you gained from that. Good. Yeah, I needed to bring my, I have this really cool gong, but I didn't bring it. Gosh. I need to have my gong. Gong. I guess cartels would work. So who would like to share? Maybe just a little, like a summary. Don't share the whole meditation, just a summary of it. And who's, okay, great, you're going to be the runner. Who would like to start with sharing? Okay, Shiva.
I loved the whole thing, but something that stuck out for me was it was hard to see, like the person, the deities I admire was Kishore Kishori, and it was hard to see them in some people. I felt that.
It's honest.
Yeah, it was. I could see them like in like when I, because I go out for Krishna lunch, and it was nice to see them in people like that. But then there are people that I see every day that are like, really, is he inside their heart too? So I need to work on that.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Mataji. I thought Balakrishna will be coming into my heart, but I could see a different person like Kaliya more than Krishna. He's dancing on Kaliya. And actually in descriptions we say like he wears yellow garment. Krishna wears yellow garment, right? But I never saw yellow garment. I saw a blue garment. And I saw the bells, like this much big bells. And I did not see flute or anything, but I could see only blue dhoti and the bells. He's dancing. And I could feel like he's in my heart, like he came into my heart, and I offered butter to him. I didn't do anything else, but I felt like I gave a big bowl of butter to him, like, and he's eating it. So that's what I felt. Thank you, Mataji. This is the first time I felt like that.
Well, the good news is he's always available to meditate on within our heart. Always there. We have to take the time and the attention. Thank you. Someone else? Come on, you were all talking. I was getting jealous. Everyone was so excited sharing, and I was thinking, I'm getting left out. I want to start bringing the microphone around. And now you're all quiet.
The one part I'll focus on is when you had said meditate, see that your Ishtadev is in the heart of everyone you meet in your daily life, when you wake up and when you go around. So I was thinking that I live alone, but there are people around me, you know, like my neighbors, and like when I go to the grocery store, unknown people, strangers. So sometimes I'll just walk by and totally not acknowledge people. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, hey, wait, the Lord's residing in the heart. It was very powerful when you said, think that the Lord's residing in their heart, and how would he, you know, I'm not sure how you said it, but it was like, how would he receive the interaction, like how would he want you to interact with this person in whose heart he's residing? So that was powerful for me. It made me think that, you know, I should acknowledge people, like, whoever I come across, strangers, somebody I don't know. So it was encouraging me to even just like smile and greet anyone and everyone that I meet, because the Lord's in their hearts as well. That's what I wanted to share.
Thank you.
So will you share?
I was thinking kind of along the same ways. I live alone and getting ready for work and then getting on the bus, and I just kind of brush by people. And then from thinking like I should be smiling, and how the Lord wants us to, he sees everything and hears everything that we're doing. Then I started feeling like I needed to develop compassion, more compassion for these fallen conditioned souls that don't know about Krishna consciousness and don't know about Krishna in their heart, or, you know, even if they can't realize that he's in the heart, you know, some aspect of God, you know. And then I kind of got a little sad, you know, thinking that, wow, what am I doing to help other people out? You know, we all have this gift and I'm doing nothing, but paying attention to the book that I'm reading on the bus, or you know, just you know, going to my job, not 8 to 5, you know, and get to go home and know about Krishna while all these other people might be suffering.
Did some of you have that have families that you live with? Were you seeing maybe your family members a little differently? Or not differently, but you want to share? Yeah, you're nodding, yes. No, you're not trying to... just to clarify, you're not treating them all like Krishna. It's recognizing that Krishna is present in their hearts and the exchange that you're having with them. There's a difference there. I don't want to like get into that Mayavad line there, you know, like I might not be asked to speak again at a Japa retreat. Anyone else over here who wants to share? You guys are all so quiet now. Well, we could just pass the mic and every single person could say something. Does anyone want to share who their Ishtadev is? Because I know, I remember when I joined, actually, before I moved in the temple, I started doing book distribution, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. So, and our temple was a Gorni-type temple, and then later Sri Panchatattva were installed. So my whole world was Panchatattva. And I was a little anxious, though, because I was also very attracted to Radha Krishna worship. But I remember having that, like, conflict, like, which are my lords? Is it Panchatattva, Gorni-type, or is it Radha and Krishna? And then reading in the Srimad Bhagavatam how in Goloka Vrindavan we get all of our lords. We get Gornitai, Panchatattva, and we get Shri Radha and Krishna. So it's not an either or. There is in the Vaikuntha planets and in different, there are different for those who are Ram Bhaktas, there's Ayodhya, and for those who worship Krishna and on reverence, there's Dwarkadam and like that. There are variations. Varieties in Krishna's perfect and pure spiritual abode. But I was very relieved to know. So that's why when I was thinking of this, I was thinking, it's okay, like you said, you thought, you know, it would be child Krishna, and then it was Kaliya Krishna that it came into your vision. So we're so fortunate that our Lord has many, many unlimited forms and unlimited qualities. So we don't have to have that conflict. We can love and serve Krishna in his many different forms. But anyone else, would anyone like to share who came in your mind and heart today?
Okay. Like, yeah, we have been worshipping Lord Jagannath a lot, and this year is the year of Navakalevara, which happens like once every 12 to 19 years, where the deities take a new form, mm-hmm. like new deities are being built, and also it's a pretty big festivities in, you know, Orissa. And I just recently traveled to, you know, from Orissa, mm-hmm. so I saw the, you know, the festivities and all. My family's back over there, so I'm kind of missing there also, missing that as well. But yeah, so Lord Jagannath, very close to heart, and you know, worship him daily.
Thank you for sharing. Anyone else want to share? What?
Hare Krishna Mataji. After your instructions, I closed my eyes and I started thinking something. I don't have any clear image, but listening to your voice and concentrating on your words, I was thinking on the same thing. Then I got a glimpses of Krishna's lotus feet, not clearly, but as a little image, and there is hangings in the end of the flute, right? Those hangings and his hand like this, which hold the flute. And I thought of seeing his face, but I couldn't see that. And when you were talking about, think of your favorite deity or something like that, I got my deities, like in our home I have Nithai Gaurachandra, Gaur Nithai. I feel like they are very humble. They will accept whatever I do. Whatever I offer, whatever I do, mistakes, they accept very humbly. But I don't know how to repay them or how to respect them again. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Well, we know Krishna doesn't need our offerings. Gornitai don't need our offerings, they need our love. They want our love. So whatever you're offering, with love, they're accepting. You can be happy in your heart and still strive to do more. Both are there. Thank you. Anyone else want to share? Otherwise we'll go on to something else. Yes? Oh, good.
I had the same experience as Mataji. So I saw my home deities. And I always feel that I don't serve them well enough. And I just pray to them that they keep me in their service. That's all I pray. And please don't take away my service.
Don't go dancing off to somebody else's house. Gornitai do that sometimes. Thank you for sharing.
I had the experience when you said to think of the form of Krishna, your favorite form, and my mind went blank, and I was just like scrambling, and I really had trouble identifying with the singular form. And you said, you know, it's okay, you know, there can be more than one, just find one. And I've really been praying, like, that please Krishna take my japa away from my mouth and let it come from my heart. Like, I don't want to just have words. I want it to be beyond the words. And this exercise was like an answer to that, like this first step of an answer, because how can it move beyond my mouth if I can't yet even meditate on the form of the Lord within my heart? So I really appreciated this experience to give that inspiration. And there's been this theme going on that reading feeds your japa and japa feeds your reading. And it was like, ah, okay. So when I'm reading and I hear these expressions of about the Lord and about His form, now that feeds this understanding of who Krishna is. And when I understand who He is, then, you know, hopefully I can increase my relationship and let my japa will reflect that. So that was my experience.
Thank you. And actually, there's so many beautiful sections of the Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita where there's beautiful verse after verse describing the beauty of the Lord. And his personal form, and beginning the meditation from the lotus feet of the Lord's lotus feet up. And these meditations are there for us. It's not just something to read. It's something to actually practice, meditating on the form of the Lord. And of course, in the deity form, that's kind of done for us, but to internalize it, so that it becomes like, you know, we're meditating on so many things. where you're having to study so... How many of you have gone to school and had to learn so many things that you could care less about, but you really learn them and you really know them and you... all of that. So this is so much more valuable to read these verses and think deeply about them and to meditate on them and practice meditating on the form of the Lord and remembering the Lord's pastimes and remembering the Lord's qualities and his exchanges with his devotees, because it gives us great encouragement and great hope when you read the story of Gopakumar, who goes on such a long sojourn throughout the whole universe, and at every step of the way he's still hankering for that which no one can satisfy besides his Lord Gopal in Goloka Vrindavan, and this journey that we're all on to be reunited with our Lord in the spiritual world. So, you know, these aren't just stories. These are actual, you know, they're transcendental expansions of our Lord. These are non-different. These scriptures are non-different from the Lord. And it's our, it's how we will deliver our mind and our senses. It's how we will be able to go, to leave this material consciousness behind. They're not just books, they're not just Kindles, they're not just, you know, something very, very personal that the Lord has arranged. And you see throughout all of time, the transcendental literatures, they come to us again and again and again through the different forms of the Lord. The Vedas are being saved by Matsya Avatar, they're being recompiled by Srila Vyasadeva, they're being spoken by Sukadeva Goswami, they're being spoken again by all the acharyas in our line, and they're being given to us again and again and again. So we're going to... I'd like to now open it up for just remembrances and realizations from the classes that happened today already, from His Holiness Ramapad Swami's class this morning, and from the prayers of Bhaktivinod Thakur, Sharanagati, and some discussion that was there. So anything that really affected you, you can look at your notes, you can just, you know, remember. And not just what was said, but how you want to apply it in your life. So you can do either one. You can talk about what was said, or how you want to apply it, or both. How's that? Be nice? Okay. Yes, I'm asking you all to share. I guess that wasn't clear. No, we're going to do it with the microphone. Just one person at a time can share. Although, you guys talk a lot more when you do the partner share. Would you rather do the partner share? Or the microphone for the room? Let me see a show of hands. How many want to do it as a partner share? How many want to do it with a microphone? And if I pass the microphone, how many will actually speak in the microphone? I'll start. We can't have a relationship with Krishna, with the holy name, without having humility. Otherwise, it will remain on the surface. It will remain superficial. It will remain outside of the heart without that humility. Next.
Self-pity is self-centered. Self-pity is self-centeredness, because I obviously self-pity myself sometimes. It's like, oh, my life sucks. I have to do 3 extra math problems. And I just feel really bad for myself. And I guess it is self-centeredness. And I want to stop. And so the way that I'll apply that is stop thinking of myself as a victim. Kind of put myself in my own shoes where it's like, it's my choice. I'm not a victim of anything. So I stop thinking of myself and start getting things done, being attentive.
That is a beautiful realization. And if you learn that at 16 and you keep that with you throughout your whole life, that's a fantastic leadership quality. Thank you for sharing that. Just start handing the microphone to different devotees. Don't even wait for them to raise their hands.
No, I barely got it. So.
It's okay. We want to hear from you.
I would like to share what Maharaj has spoken on the Brahma Samhita after the Brahma Vimohana Leela, when Brahma comes and offers prayers to Lord Govinda. So then Krishna says, I am just a simple cowherd boy. So you're praising me. I mean, then Brahma's response is, even though, no, you are not the cowherd boy. And then he says that I am just a small, insignificant living entity, something like that, within the whole universe, and you have multi-universes, unlimited universes within your body. So, with this, having this knowledge makes, Brahma speaks with humility, even though he is a secondary creator who creates all these universes. I mean, as Maharaj said, that when somebody has a knowledge and a power, then pride kicks in. But in spite of having so much knowledge and so much power of being a secondary creator, Brahma comes down and shows his humility by realizing what Krishna's position is and what his position is. Because in material world, we often try to forget our position. As soon as we get some knowledge and power, we try to forget. But then by this pastime, Brahma makes us realize that we should never forget what is our position and what is Lord's position. So that is the humility lesson which I learned from this morning episode.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you much.
One of the things Swamiji mentioned was about Jivanti, like how do you live your life in relationship with Krishna, and how do you ensure that though you are established in the society, just maintaining that particular position, but continuing to think about Krishna and do everything centering him. So that is a big thing for me, because I am kind of getting into this now. This is my first japa retreat, and I'm trying to also continue or actually start doing the 16 round of chanting and all. So earlier, the big problem for me was, hey, how do I really find time in order to, chant so much rounds and all. But and I have to push myself in order to do that. But, that particular verse and that particular thought was pretty profound for me, because I thought, okay, I mean, anything that I do, if I keep Krishna in the center, then it's, I'm seeing that I can actually give more time to Krishna, and I will be able to chant that much rounds. So as I stepped out of the class, I know, like, this is kind of the right situation and the circumstances to chant. But I think anything that I see now, as I am like able to kind of focus that on Krishna now. I'm thinking Krishna in my mind continuously. So, and I'm just breeze through the rounds, and it was, I feel like so different. So I think that'll have a pretty profound impact on me for some time now.
There you go. Thank you for sharing.
Hare Krishna Mataji. The prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, somehow this is the first time I felt very deeply the mood of the humility, and it touched my heart, and at least little bit I could feel have the same feeling of what Bhaktivinoda Thakur was expressing. So my question is like how, but I immediately realized the moment I step out of the room, I'm no more like, I want to stay with that feeling. Or, you know, I want to cultivate that quality of humility very deeply into the core of my being. So my question for both of you, you know, can you give some practical ways I could do it?
Well, I think the whole weekend is the practical ways, and that's why I'm asking all of you to share how you're going to apply it in your life. Because if we're meditating, this little meditation we just did of actually seeing the Lord in the hearts of everyone that we interact with, that's one way that will keep us humble and keep us, how would you say, always on our best behavior. And then the prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I mean, there's no reason not to be listening to these at some point of the morning or evening, or maybe some point during your day. You can learn these bhajans and sing them. And certainly you can have the song books and read the prayers of, you know, read one of the prayers every day and meditate on it. So just like you can have your daily meditation book, and it can be the song books of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And I mean, it's so beautiful, you know, this, if your mind is always absorbed in chanting the glories of Lord Krishna with great care, then by that process of Sri Krishna Kirtan, you will attain transcendental qualification. And you just go through and you read this, and don't just read it and forget it. Read it and say, okay, this is what I'm going to read and meditate and practice today. This is going to be my meditation today that I go through. Pick one verse, pick one song, and just have it, you know, print it out and carry it with you, or put it on the refrigerator, whatever, so it's in your environment. And that's the whole thing, is having things in front of us so that we do it over and over again with undivided attention, so that it actually, when we're doing it, we're reading it, we're hearing it, we're thinking about it. Prabhu, you want to add? Actually, Bhartahari Prabhu's been traveling the last 3 years around the world, and what I miss the most is I'm very spoiled. I used to get to have him just go into our small temple room at home. I never would know when, but you know, in the morning he'd go in and just sing his bhajans, or sometimes at noon making the offering for the deities, or in the evening he'd just go in and sit and chant. And I really miss not having him in the background singing at home. It's like, oh. So I too have to just play his recordings and go on Facebook and follow him around the world, and go on YouTube and listen to the kirtans. And so, but I mean, honestly, the gizmos and gadgets have become a horrific distraction, but the redeeming quality is with the internet. You can listen to kirtans and classes and go on parikram all over the world. Every minute of every day, there's somewhere you can go in, and either live or recorded. It's just phenomenal. How many of you use the internet for that purpose? Haribo, Sri Internet, Ki Jai. No, straight.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Hare Krishna Mataji. Prabhu, my question is related to what you said. I thought it was everything put together.
Okay. You have my permission. You can ask me a question.
So you had mentioned at one point after the bhajan that gopis are the topmost humble devotees of the Lord. So I just was wondering what that actually meant, if you could elaborate on it.
Well, wait till you get the microphone.
I'm not sure if I can give you a good explanation, but there's in the actually, you know Prema Tarangini? She shared with me a section of the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, which is describing the gopis' humility, and I'll have to find out where that is. But that's specifically where it's mentioned, and it's been a while since I've read it, but it's beautiful. It's so beautiful, and it's such a deep explanation of humility. But in essence, it's there's when humility reaches its pinnacle, there's no difference between that and prema. Humility in its essence is prema. And we can understand because the heart is just open. There's no resistance. There's no like competition. There's no distance between the gopis' love is so pure that whatever they can't even think of their own happiness, it's described. They just think what makes Krishna happy. And so you could see that as humility or you could see that as bhakti. But it's anyway, but it'll be better explained.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Hare Krishna Mataji. One of the things that I learned today was to just accept Krishna, not just in the ways that we like him for us to reciprocate with us, but also in the ways that he's reciprocating that we don't like. And that is the more important thing because those are the things that are actually making us humble and carrying on in our everyday life and helping us grow. Because the things that we like are just what we like.
Thank you. Say yes to Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Sorry I was late when you were doing the exercise, but the one realization I had immediately when I came and I sat on the chair, the whole environment was very warm, hot. I have got few good experiences. Whenever I see that something is very special in the environment, my whole body gets warm and I start getting goosebumps, and it's very hard to describe. When I came and sat, that time the environment was so warm, suddenly, immediately I feel that. So I suppose maybe all the devotees, they were thinking internally, there was something very deep in the environment. In fact, when I'm speaking right now, my whole body is going through the goosebumps. So it was a great realization just for sitting there. So thank you. I wish I could have been on time. The other thing, Prabhuji's class, Jivanti, as Prabhuji was telling, I'm always very disappointed with my japa. I do 16 rounds, but it seems very hollow because it's just about the counting. I'm like my concentration just very flaky, just goes on off and on and off. So I was thinking that Jivanti, this is like maybe if I keep reminding myself, no, I have to live the relationship with Krishna, maybe it will improve. So maybe if you, I would like you to share, as you were growing as a devotee, what are the things you did to improve the quality of your japa, where you are able to now feel him. I want to feel like there have been very few instances when I'm doing my japa, I'm able to feel him, but other times it just feels very hollow.
Thank you for sharing that. I'd say the best thing I've done for my japa is to go to lots of japa retreats and kirtan retreats and have the association of, even if it's just one other devotee or several other devotees who are also serious japa chanters, having that association kind of like, it's like the horse with the blinders on, you know, it like hems in and like you see them chanting seriously, it's like, oh yeah, I got to focus too, you know, it's like it helps you bring your mind back too when you're with others who are chanting seriously. And The other thing that's helped me the most is, I won't say I have the realization, but striving to have the realization that Krishna is listening, and he's right here with me, and he's listening to me chanting. So how do I want to offer my chanting to him? You know, multitasking while you're chanting, all of that, you know. And I'm, you know, I think most of us mothers, it's a challenge to chant the 16 rounds. You've got children, and you've got a household, and you're working also. I mean, we all have our reasons why it's hard to chant attentively, you know, and we have the reasons. And there's one saying that your why, you know, why you want to chant attentively, you want to develop love for Krishna, you want to make this devotional offering with love, that has to be more important than all the other reasons, all the reasons why it's difficult or all the distractions. And honestly, I have a difficult time not becoming distracted. So for me, the early morning hours are the best. And if I don't get to chant in the early morning hours, then I like to go on a walk where there's nobody or nothing that can call my attention. And the cell phone's off and whatever. You know, like, I have to like impose these kind of restrictions on myself, because otherwise it's just too easy for me to be busy again and have to tend to business-related things that come up all the time. So, you know, I have to create that around myself, like that, you know, that sacred ring. It's like nothing can get in while I'm chanting. And if I can't have a two-hour period, then okay, even if sometimes I'm encouraged by Srila Prabhupada's personal example and his householder life when he chanted four rounds early in the morning, four rounds before each meal. So it was in half an hour increments, but they were uninterrupted. So however you need to do it in your life, and for some of us it may be different every day of the week, depending on what your obligations are, but to those are things I've done to help. But I'd say of all of the different things, the most important for me is having association with at least one other devotee, and sometimes that's Srila Prabhupada, chanting with Srila Prabhupada when my husband's gone or I'm not at the temple in the morning like that. Then listening to an audio with Srila Prabhupada chanting. And then again, having that intention or awareness that Srila Prabhupada is here with me, listening to my chanting. How am I chanting? Is that helpful? Okay.
It's working now.
This is going to be good.
The Wizard of Oz. Anyway. Just on that same point, he really emphasized that in his teachings. Of, are we seers or are we seeing? You know, what can we see? When we go see the deities, what do we see? You know, but if we can understand that we are being seen by Krishna, that is spiritual vision. To know that Krishna is seeing us and that we're, you know, he's watching. And he said that is Goloka Darshan. Not to see, but to know that we're seen. And it makes it makes a huge difference in your chanting. Actually, it's true. Isn't Krishna watching us all the time? But how much do we think that? How often do we think that?
So we could stop here and let everybody stand up and stretch and have a few minutes before kirtan begins at 5. Is that a good idea, everyone's? Or should we start with a strong kirtan and everyone get up and dance? Thank you all very much. Please forgive my offenses. Hare Krishna.